Welcome to our Farming Water Scotland podcast. Our podcast discusses various mitigation options, guidance and farmers' experience to help manage and improve water quality on farm and the surrounding area. In today's podcast, we'll be discussing the new guidance from CREWW, who are the Centre of Expertise for Waters, on planning for water scarcity, a practical guidance for Scottish farmers and growers, with David Harrow Montague, from Aberdeen University, and myself, Fiona Salter, an environmental consultant from SRUC. Hi, David. Thank you for joining us today. Sorry for ruining your name.
No worries. I acknowledge it's perhaps a difficult one to pronounce, so I'm just happy with David Harrow. It works all right.
Thank you. And thank you for joining us today. Do you want to just give us a little bit of background about yourself before we start talking about the document?
Absolutely. I'm David Harrow. I'm a lecturer in global hydrology and water security at the University of Aberdeen since 2020. Before that, I've been working on different academic roles back in Spain. I'm originally from Spain, so I've been working in Spain and also down in England, mostly on water resources management, but most of the times focused on agricultural water management.
Fab, thank you. Yep, and I'm Fiona Salter. I help with the Farming and Water Scotland initiative, and I worked on the guidance document with David over the past year. So we are here to discuss why and what the document is. So the document was produced by a team from Aberdeen University, James Hutton Institute, SRUC and SAOS, with input from SEPA, NatureScot, the Scottish Government and NFUS. And it's been designed as a practical guidance focused on Scottish farms and growers to help manage the changes in water availability throughout Scotland. David, I don't know if you want to lead on the introduction about what it actually is or...
Yeah, absolutely. So, well... With the document, we want people to think of it as a bridge between evidence and action. There's been several other CREWW projects that have been dealing with water scarcity. Mm-hmm. And the major message in this guidance, as a result of all the prior research, is that Scotland should not assume that water abundance is going to be warranted in the future.
Yeah.
Most of the people just think that Scotland is a wet country, and especially for people like me, foreigners, we just think, oh, it's always raining there. But the evidence is actually showing trends towards more prolonged dry spells and even creating more pressure, real pressures for agriculture.
Yeah, that's a good summary. I think just historically, Scotland is just seen as this wet, green country, but I suppose the agriculture sector will see firsthand that is changing with like year on year changes and trends and how that impacts their business and then food supply moving forward.
Absolutely. Also because given the current climate trends, the agricultural sector needs to rely on water abstraction more mm-hmm. and more yeah. than before. It's no longer rain-fed agriculture, but in order to maximize productivity and the quality of the produce, then the farmers will need to resort to water abstraction from either surface or groundwater. And that's going to put an extra pressure on them and on regulation regarding how these water resources are used and how these different incoming new demands are in conflict with the traditional water supply and even the environmental demands.
We need to make sure that water can be available for all but still feed ourselves. So
absolutely,
it's a fine balance. And I think last year it did show quite an interesting... I think even with like the trends, I suppose it shows like the east-west split, and like it's there's more information available how it's getting drier on the east coast. But then last year in like spring, like the whole of the country at some point was at early warning stages of like water scarcity. So it shows that it's not just the East-West. The whole of the country needs to start thinking about this. And even with the winter report that's just come out from SEPA, the Highlands were record lows for rainfall, with the East Coast or Northeast, if I get that right, having like really heavy rainfalls following the, such a dry spell last year. It'll be interesting to see what happens this summer with what's happened this winter, whether that means that the East Coast may be less impacted potentially, but then with the Highlands being so dry, every year is different.
Yeah, I think a couple weeks ago, Met Office already mentioned that they were looking into a dry summer again, despite the wet winter we've had.
Yeah, hopefully, though, because of the wet winter, there might be slightly less early impact for East Coast. Mm. But we don't know. It's a waiting game.
That's why we produce this guidance, to be fair, to keep our eyes open.
And build up resilience within the agricultural community. So, moving into that. So the guidance is split into seven sections, from discussing water availability in Scotland, the regulation about water abstraction, how you can value the water, resilience in your farm, where you can water resources from, how you can manage and irrigate more efficiently, and how you can increase your resilience on farm. But for today, we're going to look at the section four, how resilient is your farm business to water scarcity. And through the guide, we developed a five-step process. And David, I don't know if you want to start introducing.
Okay, so the document is covering the risk, is splitting the risk into more easy to understand terms. So it's going to break it down into components that our farmers can assess on their own at their farms. This is based on the hazard, exposure, and vulnerability triangle of risk that we often see in any other risk assessment guidance. This is a traditional risk approach to risk, and it's going to help the farmers to define the resilience as the farm's capacity to withstand and recover from water scarcity events, and trying to encourage businesses to think systematically about where they are exposed and what they can realistically improve within the farm.
You've within the guidance document, you've got this really handy, easy to follow step-by-step guide that some parts a farmer can easily do. It's just about gathering information that they know and putting it in. And then when you do the whole assessment, you can gauge how vulnerable you are as a business to water scarcity, which is a really simple step-by-step guide.
Yeah, so for anyone who's listening to us, this is just a five-step drought risk assessment based on this triangle that we mentioned before, and then just putting all the information together. So do you want me to go through the steps, perhaps?
Yeah, no, that'd be great.
So if we start from the top, normally we would think of the hazard, which is associated to, what's the probability of being under a drought event. So essentially, how likely your area is to experience extended dry weather and low flows. That means, for example, checking CPAS, water scarcity information, using the drought risk assessment tool, perhaps looking back at past restrictions or even seasonal hotspots already identified by CIPA, but also using your own knowledge, the farmer's knowledge, on what are the traditional conditions for the farm. Some farmers may even have their own meteorological stations that they could use to gather their own data, complemented with existing data from SEPA, and assess where they are in terms of the hazard, how the dry event or water scarce events are developing over time, because we must not forget that water scarcity is a creeping event. It's not something that happens overnight, mm-hmm. but that actually builds up over several weeks or months, and all of a sudden you are up to your waist in the problem, and it's very easy to get out. So this yearly preparation is very important. Understanding what's the climatology of your region or your area is very important. Yeah. If we move into the second step, then is assessing your own exposure. That is about how dependable you are on water, how much you need, when you need it, when what the peak demand actually looks like, how dependent your business is in one source, or do you have several points of abstraction that you can rely on? We recommend using mapping your sources and the uses, enhancing, or we promote metering the main lines, confirming that the daily totals are what they are, checking the equipment, the pipe sizing, and essentially making sure that you're safe when you most need the water. Next, if we move into the third step, moving around that triangle, then we could the farmer would need to assess their vulnerability. So about whether the farm can cope when water becomes scarce. We're asking questions, or we're suggesting farmers to ask themselves questions like, how many days of water have you got stored? Do you have a backup source? What are your soils like? Are they capable of storing more or less water? How efficient is your system? And, well, just like, have you got a plan, essentially? What would you do in a drought situation? And finally, in steps 4 and 5, we just ask the farmer to bring all this information together into a risk profile and test its resilience. So essentially, the step 4 would be, okay, let's put all this together. Let's add up the points of your assessment. And again, given the punctuation, you are in a different risk profile, and then come up with scenarios. What would happen if, or what would I do mm-hmm. if this happened? So a means of helping the farmer to set triggers on what they need to take action, identifying the priorities in the farm, perhaps even live drills. This is perhaps a long shot, but even live drills with their personnel in the farm on what they would do if a situation developed, and essentially just raising in rules and water budgets to understand what they can do with the water they have in a water scarce situation, especially when SIPA tells everyone, all right, now we're in a drought situation. Yeah.
No, I think it's such a important process that farmers, if they haven't already started to, should definitely start thinking about implementing it on farm, because it's the reassurance that sometimes just having a plan, like you might not be able to follow the plan exactly, but having something there that you know that you've done and can refer back to, and you can see there is a solution or a plan to improve the situation moving forward, especially since the trends show that water scarcity is going to become it's not a 1 in 20 year time anymore. It's like in some cases it might be 1 in 3 year. Trying to become resilient and adaptable to the changing climate is so important, and having it as a step-by-step process in this guide just makes that process easier and highlights key points like a leaking tap or where you get the most of your water source from. Just that, even just having that additional small storage somewhere can make a massive difference when there's no water, like if you're SIPA have to reduce your abstraction licensing in the height of summer when you need it the most.
Yeah, I would like to stress one thing you mentioned at the beginning. The 1 in 20 that every farmer tends to rely on, it's based on the 1 in 20 of already 20 years ago. Sometimes I remember also working down in England, where many farmers could still remember 1976 drought. But that was already 2010. Mm-hmm. So more than 40 years later, they still use 1976 as their design drought. And the reality is that the 1 in 20 corresponding to 1976 is no longer 1 mm-hmm. in 20. So as you said, it's 1 in 3, 1 in 5. And the current 1 in 20 is going to be way worse. So it's being prepared to way worse situations. I mean, we don't want to sound dramatic here, mm-hmm. but the evidence is showing that the 1 in 20 everyone used to rely on is no longer that rare, and the extremes are even farther away in terms of how bad they can be. Yeah. So it's also sometimes planning for the worst and expect for the best.
Yes. The best foot forward. No, that was a really good tour around that, and hopefully all the information is in the guide with how to do each exactly step. More details in the appendix. But there's also like the drought assessment tool that you mentioned. That's on SEPA's website. I'll put a link under the chat, and then the water scarcity report. I think it starts in May and runs till September time. SEPA produce that every week. So I'll put the link to the water scarcity page on the notes under the podcast, and then when that becomes live, you'll be able to find it from that website. And then, so if we're talking about resilience and what farmers can do, the guide also then moves on to ways that people can increase resilience on their farm. So there's a lot more information in the guide than we will be talking about today. So what benefits would a farmer have from doing the farm drought risk assessment in this format, the five-step process?
Well, I think we've mentioned it already, but the first benefit would be decision-making support. Mm-hmm. Once they've assessed all this, they have all the information at hand, and that's going to help them make decisions more easily, especially because it's easier for them to prioritize the right interventions, whether that's going to be more storage, better metering, and all that. But also, perhaps most importantly, is to avoid costly emergency responses, because sometimes if you're in a drought situation all of a sudden and you didn't plan for it, you may put your hands on your head and say, what do I do now? Mm-hmm. And start running around implementing arguable solutions. So what we try is to make the point that lower vulnerability means being able to maintain your supplies, the priority crops or livestock for longer, remain compliant with restrictions, and overall avoiding rust and expensive measures during these dry periods. And, well, also a wider benefit that being able to plan for resilience is that it may end up bringing wider gains. So, because if you start metering, you may reveal leaks and efficiencies within your own farm that you wouldn't detect otherwise. Mm-hmm. You could improve your soil management, which is going to help you retain more water. And overall, having a clear plan is going to reduce your stress and uncertainty that comes with restrictions when they arrive from SEPA. So I think overall, it's not only a benefit for your drought scarcity for water scarcity situations, but also overall on the day-to-day management of the farm long term.
That's a really, really good point. The cost implications of acting after are never as efficient as acting before. But I think I'm hoping that because of the past few years, I think needing to become more resilient to water availability, even from flooding to water scarcity, there are a lot of the similar measures are the same, or the mitigation measures are similar. That I think farmers are starting to ask a lot of questions about what they can do. So this is quite a timely guidance material that is out for farmers to use. And yeah, if they need any more information or anything, we're happy to provide any advice.
Absolutely.
Thank you for joining us today, David. It was really, really helpful. And hopefully that has sparked some interest into the document. You could be able to refer to it. It's on the CREW website, or it'll be on the Farming Water Scotland website very soon. And then you can click on it and download it and read at your leisure. We will save all the links to the document and guidance notes underneath the podcast today. If you've got any questions or like to find out more, please email farmingwaterscotland@sec.co.uk or have a look at the guide directly. You can listen back to all previous episodes we produce for Farming Water Scotland on any podcast provider or find them on our website. Farming Water Scotland is funded by Scottish Government and delivered by SAC Consulting in partnership with SEPA to help farmers and land managers reduce diffuse pollution risk and benefit the farm business.